speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
The church. You know, as we think about the new year, everyone is looking not only to have joy as we begin the new year, but how are we going to be able to have joy as we go throughout the new year and throughout the entirety of our lives? And people use this time of year usually to make some New Year's resolutions. They resolve to do some things different than what they have done in the past year or in years past. And one of the things that people want to do is to lose weight in order to be healthier. And losing weight can indeed be difficult from time to time. I'm reminded of a story of a man and a woman where the woman walks into the restroom and she finds her husband standing on the scales and he's looking down and he's sucking in his stomach as much as he can and pressing back. And the wife thinks to herself, he thinks that by doing that he's going to weigh less. So she says to him, "Honey, that's not going to work." And he says, "Why, yes it is." And she says, "How?" And he says, "It's the only way in which I can see the numbers on the scale." Losing weight is hard. And one person said that it's harder as we grow older. Why? Because our body and our fat have become best friends. And therefore it's harder to get rid of. Losing weight can be difficult, but yet at the same time, no doubt, God expects us to use our body to the glorification of His name. And therefore, whatever we eat or drink, we need to do it all to the glory of God. And I know that it is challenging, but yet at the same time, I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And if you have a desire, if your aspiration for this year in part is to lose weight, then I want you to know that I am praying for you, as well as we will all be here to help encourage you to meet that goal. But also, some look to happiness and they say, "You know, I want to be able to budget better so that I can save for the future." And that, my friends, is very important. Why? Because we are just coming out of the holidays where everything is spend, spend, spend. We've been buying Christmas presents and nothing wrong with that. But still at the same time, as we begin a new year, now we've got to think about being able to pay our bills. We've got to think about being able to save for the things that we'll be hit with throughout the course of this year, as well as we're growing older, we mentioned that a while ago, maybe saving for retirement and things of that nature. And therefore, we need to make certain that we understand as Christians what God expects out of us. He blesses us throughout the course of our life with an abundance of ability, with talents, as well as with opportunities to go out and to earn a living and to provide for ourselves and for our families, and even to be able to do things in this world, and even from time to time to be able to help others who are struggling with the things that they might not be able to have in life. And God wants us to see the importance then of budgeting so that we will be able to take care of the things that come our way in the future. Others have resolved, I would trust, to manage their time better so that they will be able to say to their family throughout 2016, "You are important to me." Friends, the things that I look forward to in the holidays or times that we are able to go back to Indiana is to spend time with our families. My family, the Keys, and Dawn's family, the Galloways. And in that, we love them so much, and we hope to communicate to our family continually exactly how important they are to us. Yet at the same time, on the PowerPoint I have to show our families that they are first, as Christians, I want us to understand that God must be first, and then family comes after God. And we need to do all that is within our power to do to communicate to our families how much we love them, but also maybe the way in which our love for God helps to bring all of these things into its proper place or proper perspective. As I think about New Year's resolutions, One thing that I hope to be able to do better, and I've tried to do this better each year, is to volunteer my services to be able to help people who are less fortunate. People who are dealing with issues, a lot of times I'm able to give myself over to as a preacher within this congregation. We've had a lot of individuals throughout the course of 2015 who had health issues, and as the preacher who is supported by the congregation and given opportunities to go and to be with these families, I want to thank you for helping me to be there for our members, for our church family. But still at the same time, there are other things that I want to do as an individual, as a Christian, as a citizen in this world, to volunteer, to be able to help those who are poor, who are less fortunate. And I trust that I'm not alone, that there are others who also would have that same desire. And therefore, let's do what we can individually as opportunities are opened up by God, placed before us, conjoined with the abilities that we have to reach out and to help those who do not have the blessings that we have in life. And as we are doing these things, friends, let's not do it to the glory of ourselves, for a pat on the back. Now, there's nothing wrong with an attaboy from time to time, but still at the same time, as we're doing things, as we're using the blessings that God has bestowed upon us, let's make certain that we are doing these things to the glorification of God's name in an effort to bring souls to Christ. And there's great joy in being able to help other individuals. The Scripture reminds us is that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And let's do what we can, by all means, to help individuals to see Christ in us and to find Christ in 2016. A lot of people have resolved in 2016 to stay busy so that joy abides in them. The Scripture teaches us, at least in principle, that an idle mind is the devil's playground. And as Christians, you and I need to do what we can to keep our minds wrapped around God. And also, if our minds are wrapped around God, to make sure that we are busy in doing the Lord's work. And the busier we are, the devil will not be able to find a way in. But also, the busier we are, the faster time's going to fly. And you may say, Kevin, you've already said time flies by already. Why do we want it to go any faster? I'm not saying that we want it to go any faster. But friends, whenever we are engaged in doing positive things happen in our lives, individually as well as congregationally. And it's those things, it's those moments, it's those avenues that bring joy, sustaining joy to our lives, that we will not only feel at the beginning of the year, but that you and I will be able to carry with us throughout 2016 and hopefully then throughout the entirety of our lives. Today, our kids will go for Bible Bowl. And I've tried to incorporate into this lesson about the new year and bringing joy to our lives from the context of the book of Ephesians chapter 4 through also chapter 6. And to begin with, as we think about what the context here in Ephesians chapter 4 identifies for us for joy, is that the foundation for joy from a biblical standpoint means that we must have the right attitude towards God and towards His church. Paul reminds his readers that there is one God and Father above all. And in this, there's one body and one faith. And you and I, as Christians, need to make sure that we understand that there is but one God that we are responsible to. That there is but one God who is responsible for creating us and who has given us His law. And as a result of Him communicating His will unto us, He expects us to devote our lives 100% over to Him and never to give allegiance to any man-made God. Never to bow ourselves down in any sense to the gods of this world. And as we think in regard to our attitude towards God, it also necessitates that we have the proper understanding with regard to the church. When Paul identifies in the context here is that there is one body Friends, He is telling us that there is one church. And I know that as I stand before you this morning, and as people are listening to us on television, after this is delivered before these individuals in this community, before our television audience, is that some are saying, what do you mean there's only one church? Friends, there are a multiplicity of different religious groups that are out there, but still at the same time, the Bible identifies to us is that Jesus Christ intended to establish His church. Matthew 16 and verse 18, He said, I will build My church and the gates of hell or Hades will not prevail against it. And that church began at Pentecost. And we read of that, the establishment of that church in Acts chapter 2. And we find the way in which that church, that one body of Christ, continued to grow throughout the first century. And today, God reminds us as we read from the Scripture and as you and I are able to identify with the church and the fact as to the way in which we become Christians by putting Christ on in baptism, as well as in the way in which we assemble ourselves together to worship God in spirit and in truth, is that not only can we find that church, but we can be a part of that one true body. And therefore, as we have the right attitude about God, we must also have the right attitude about His church. To realize the significant role that we play individually as a member of the church. The importance of our attendance, but not only in regard to our being assembled with the church, but in like figure, the importance that we play as a connected member of the church, making certain that we are always involved in doing the things that God commands His people to do as Christians and as a congregation who represents Him and who's responsible for glorifying Him. If we want to have joy throughout 2016, we must have the right attitude towards our God and His church. But friends, also, Paul reminds us that in order for us to have joy this year and beyond, we must have a committed spirit to putting off and putting on. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, Paul says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you no longer should walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their minds." The Gentiles in the day of Paul, those who were involved in the world, they did not know God, and therefore they were living their life however they saw fit to live it. And Paul says they were wrong in doing so. Why? Because you can't be wrong with God and be right and have hope of an eternal life in heaven with Him. And therefore, Paul says that if you want to maintain a relationship with God, if you want to have the joy of what it means to really and truly be a child of God, a Christian, you've got to put off the ways of the Gentiles. And friends, the world in which we live in today is no different. The world offers all kinds of ungodliness. And throughout the course of my life, I have seen it only grow worse and worse. And therefore, we need to identify the evils that exist amongst us and to see that it does us no good to be involved in those things, not only as it would relate to our relationship with God, but also as it would deal with our dealings in the world. We must center our lives in and around God and walk as children of light, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. And as we are walking as children of light, we are also to walk circumspectively, he says, not as fools. And as we're thinking about circumspectively, he says that that means that we walk carefully. We consider where it is that God wants us to go. And as we're taking our steps in life, then we're doing all that we can to make sure that we're stepping in the steps of Christ. And that as we're taking the steps through life, is that we're very cautious to say, would God have me to go here? Or would God want me to say this or do that? Friends, we need to always consider our relationship with God and the joy that comes with being a Christian, and the commitment that we must have to put off continually those things that would separate us from God and to put on those things that would identify us as faithful children of God. In order for us to have joy in life, then, in like figure, we must understand the truth as well as to realize lies. In the context of the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul, in writing here, says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them." Well, what's he mean, with them? Don't be partakers with their ungodliness. But friends, also note the context. He says the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. He's speaking in the context here with regard to if we are partakers with them in their evil deeds, then in like figure we will be partakers with them in the wrath of God. And therefore, God says we need to know the truth. And in fact, the Proverbs writer tells us that we need to buy the truth and do not sell it. Well, what is the truth? And what benefit is there in the truth? The benefit in the truth, according to what Jesus said in John chapter 8, and verse 32, He says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." It's only the truth, friends, that will set us free from the world as well as from sin and the consequences of sin. Where do we find this truth that is able to sanctify us, that's able to set us apart and to set us free? Jesus taught us of this in John chapter 17 and verse 17, and saying, "Sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth." Friends, the New Testament Scripture serves as God's guide for us today. And we need to do all that we can each moment of every day to study from the Word of God. In our class this morning, we began a series of lessons wrapped in and around the proper way to study the Bible. And I asked the class, not for a show of hands, but rather to think personally about, do you study the Bible every single day of your life? And as you study the Bible, if you do study even every day, or if you're not, I want those who do not study the Bible every day to understand the importance of reading and studying the Bible every day. But as we study from the Bible, are we just reading for the sake of reading, or are we reading to learn and learning to apply to our lives? Because that's what God really wants. He wants us to read and to study the truth, to understand the truth, to know the truth, and then to apply the standards that He lays before us to our everyday walk of life. And friends, He does this. He requires this of us. Why? Not because He wants to see us mess up, but rather because He wants to see us to excel, to abound, to be better servants of Him. But you see, He even has a greater goal than this. His ultimate purpose for our living according to godliness is for us to someday be able to dwell eternally in heaven with Him. And in order for us to be able to accomplish this on our part, we must know the truth and to understand when people are lying to us. And I'm not talking about lies in general in the world. Those things are important to know. But I'm talking about whenever people are trying to deceive us with regard to what the truth of God's Word is. That's what Paul has under consideration here in this context. Who's responsible for the lies that are presented? The devil himself. John chapter 8 and verse 44. He is the father of lies. And therefore he works continually through false prophets or false teachers, striving to drive man away from God, trying to take those individuals who do not know the truth, who are not rooted and grounded in the Word of God, and trying to trick them up with the things that he will present from even what he calls a theological understanding of the Bible. And friends, we need to be wise. Wise in Scripture. And we need to be wise servants in regard to the things that we will allow people to say in our presence. And then to refute those things that are false. How do we have a joyful life throughout 2016? Throughout life? Paul also shares with us that we need to have a proper focus on spouse and even on our children. On all who comprise the family. The husband, he is to love his wife, even as Christ so loved the church. Why did Christ love the church? Friends, because the church represents the bride of Christ. To what end did Christ love the church? He gave Himself for her. And husbands, we need to make sure that we do all that we can to give ourselves for our spouse and even for our children. We need to make sure that we communicate to our spouse, to our wife, exactly how beautiful she is in our sight. We need to tell her continually how important she is to our lives, is that she completes us, and that without her in our lives would be incomplete. It would not be joyful. It would not have the blessings that we experience as a husband and a wife if they were not a part of us. But in like figure, Paul reminds the wife in the context of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22. He says, "Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord." Understand, wives, is that you have your own husband. You're not to go out and to look to other men, but rather to be committed to that marriage relationship of which you are in, of which God has blessed you to. But then in like vigor, he says, submit. The word submit means to place yourself under. And husbands, we need to love our wives so that they will have no problem submitting to our rule. Amen. But then in like figure, the wife needs to say, you know, this is what God requires of me. He expects me to submit as to the Lord. We have some amazing ladies here who submit very well to the Lord. And what I mean by that is that your lives are in order. You're here worshiping God. As you go out each day, you are living under the will of God. And to that I say amen and praise you and encourage you to continue to do this and to do more and more. But then in like figure, God says, as you submit to me, as you are submitting to the Lord, placing yourself under His rule, His guidance, His authority, in like figure, wives must also submit to the husband. Husbands and wives are reminded that we work together, but still at the same time, the husband has the rule of the house. He has the final say, if you would. And the wife must understand this and appreciate the role that God places upon the husband in the home. And mothers and fathers must continue to work together for the good of their home, raising their children according to the will of God. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, but bring them up in the nurturing and admonition of the Lord. Bring them up. In the original language, it's most important. It's not a once and done deal, but he says, as you're bringing them through the home, as you're raising them every single day, remind them of the responsibility they have not only to you, but unto the Lord. Teach them the way of God. And friends, if we teach them the way of God, the will of God, the chances of them departing from it whenever they're older is less likely. In fact, I'm reminded of what the Proverbs writer tells us in Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. There are exceptions to the rule where some do. But as a rule, whenever we raise them, according to a standard, they're going to follow that standard through life. And even for those who walk away from God, the Bible tells us that that seed has been sown. If we've done our part, if we're striving to do our part, when that seed is sown, then those who are wayward may someday come home. And for those who are, we continue to pray and continue to work to bring them to the Lord before it's too late. A joyful life is possible if we had the proper focus towards our spouse, towards our kids, towards our home. But friends, also, the Bible identifies to us, in order for us to have joy throughout this year and throughout the entirety of our life, we must be armed for the world as well as for Satan. We are at war. And I'm not talking about ISIS. We are at war with them as a nation. But as Christians, we are constantly at war. And in this, who is it that we are fighting against? We are fighting against powers and principalities in the world. Some of those are ungodly leaders, but yet at the same time, we need to understand the influence. Where are their influences coming from? From Satan himself. These individuals have allowed Satan to control their lives, and they're working continually is an opposition against you and me in our quest to make it to heaven. And for this reason, we need to identify those who are working against our goal to be with God eternally and to say, you know, I'm going to step back. I'm not going to engage in those things that are classified as ungodly. And how am I going to be able to defeat them? What must be my weapon? The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. And therefore God reminds us continually that we need to put on the whole armor of God that we will be able to stand. To stand, what's that mean? I think to begin with, so that we'll be able to stand whenever it's challenging. It's hard. If somebody ever tells you that it's easy to be a Christian, they don't know what they're talking about. That's my thought. It's easy to become a Christian. In other words, God's not made it an obstacle to become a Christian that only a few is going to be able to reach. You confess Christ to be Son of the living God and submit yourself to be baptized. That's not very hard. But serving as a Christian can be difficult if we stand as a Christian. Why? Because it's different than the world. And it's totally different than what these powers and principalities, these rulers, that they say, submit to me. And we say, as long as your will submits to the will of God, we're okay with that. But whenever we say, if you're not living according to godliness, I'm going to serve God above you. And therefore, I think to be able to stand might in part mean is that we stand with a sword, our weapon, a defense, weapon of protection, and we use God's Word rightfully, out of love, but rightfully, to defend our faith, but then also to be able to stand in the end before God as one of His faithful children. Friends, that's joy. To know that we are not only servants of the Most High while we are here in this world, but also to realize is that God has something amazing. God has something glorious, eternal, reserved in heaven for you and me. And the way in which we're able to have this is to be a Christian, to live our lives for God today, that whenever we die, whenever we pass from this life into eternity, heaven will be our reward. That brings us joy as we hope for the return of Christ and live our lives faithful before God with anticipation of that day. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to begin the new year off right by becoming a child of God. How do you do that? I mentioned a minute ago. You must confess Christ to be the Son of the living God, but then also submit yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. And when you're baptized into Christ, into the watery grave of baptism, the Bible identifies to us is that we come in contact with the blood of Christ at that point. Romans 6, verses 3 through verse 7, Acts 22 and verse 16. And then we are raised from that grave of baptism and then commanded, expected, challenged to walk in newness of life, to no longer live for self, to no longer live for the world, but to vow that I'm going to live my life for God. It doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect, but it means that we're striving for perfection in Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're here this morning and you've never been baptized, we want to encourage you through our song service to make that response, to begin your life in Christ this year. If you are here today a member of the church, but for some reason you've allowed the cares of the world to weigh you down, you've allowed sin to come back in and to separate you from God, once again, we want you to know that we love you, God loves you, and we will pray with you and for you that you can be forgiven, and that you can also have a renewed hope into this new year to live for God. Please come as